There's the facts of what's been going on the last few years. There's the facts about what's happening in our culture. There's the facts of what's happening in a lot of other cultures around the world. There's the fact that there's this paradigm shift going on, and it seems so unnerving and so uncertain because everything that can be shaken will be shaken. That's the truth. Let me remind you of these verses again. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26, and his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. And this expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, in which we may offer to God an acceptable service of worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So what should be the attitude of Christians during this time of uncertainty and shaking? What does he say? Gratitude. Because the truth always sets you free into an attitude of gratefulness and thanksgiving. Are we thankful that there's a coronavirus? Are we thankful for the crazy behavior of so many people? No. But we are thankful that the kingdom of heaven is coming forth. That everything that can be shaken is shaken. That's the truth. And the truth sets you free. We talked about being set free from the fear of death last week. That's so important. So that we can start seeing the truth in what's going on as believers and walk in the kind of gratitude, gratefulness, thankfulness that demonstrates what we believe. Jesus is the truth about the Christian life, how to make it work. Why does it work for me? Jesus is the truth. Jesus said he was the way. What's the way to do this Christian life? Jesus. The Christian life, he said, he's the life. You with me? Jesus is the truth about the Christian life. He's the way to live the Christian life. He is the life. That's the truth. And the truth will set you free. And again, I'm not spending a lot of time on these because there's a place I want to settle into for a minute. Jesus is the truth about every theological question you might have. The life that Jesus lived in the pages of Scripture was perfect theology. He revealed the will of God. What does it look like for a person to live in the will of God? You want to know the truth about some theological question? You can go get some books and read like 7,000 pages, and that's fine. But when it's all said and done, they could have written a book that said one word, Jesus, because he's the truth. And he explained the truth. He said in John chapter 1, verse 18, no man has seen God at any time, but Christ has explained him. Jesus has revealed him. We talked about Jesus being the truth about every current event in all of history. We have to remember that history is his story. So everything that happens in the next moment is part of history. And it becomes his story. Not the devil's story. There's a lot of stuff that the devil's doing on the earth. But there's a bigger story behind the scenes. It's Jesus. If you can see that, it'll free you up, again, to live in gratitude instead of being terrorized. But this is where I want to settle for a few moments, because this is so practical for us. Jesus is the truth about your story and my story. Your story is now his story. You're in Christ. We talked about yesterday, I talked about it, Terry Hicks's funeral. I shared a word I share at almost every funeral from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that when a person dies, gives up this body, they're being swallowed up by life. So if Christ is your life, and yet we have these restrictions at some level because we still live in a body that has the law of sin in it, so there's this, so we see through a glass darkly. There's a lot of things we can walk it out, but it's just, but you're swallowed up by life and death. But we also talked about yesterday that it says in 1 Corinthians 15, you know, the scripture says, death, where's your sting? Death, where's your victory? There's a phrase before that that says, death is swallowed up in victory. So in our death, we're swallowed up in life, by life, and we're swallowed up in victory, so that everything, every defeat, every uncertainty, everything there, we'll see all turned out right. But we don't have time to go over all that. But I believe when a person becomes a Christian, the process of swallowing up, being swallowed up by life, and being swallowed up by his victory already begins. It's just finalized in our death. Just think that when you die, you'll never have another memory of a defeat or the fear that there'll ever be another one. That everything turned out right. That everything that you prayed and prayed for that you didn't even see, God did it just right. There's no uncertainty. There's not even a memory of pain or betrayal or swallowed up in victory. You never made a wrong decision. But you see, the scripture says that you're in Christ, and so there's already that process beginning. Your story is now his story. Your past is now his past. It belongs to him. It's under the blood. Your present situation is now him. He's the truth that you need to deal with, not the bills here or that's going on or this is happening. He's the truth. Your future is his truth. All neurosis. Now, I know that none of you have any of that. But unfortunately, your pastor does. Has it time from time. All neurosis is frozen pain. And that frozen pain is the lens through which we then approach life. The frozen pain becomes our truth. But because your story is his story, the truth can set you free in all those places. It is the balm of Gilead. Listen to Ephesians 2, the last part of verse 8 through verse 10. Now I'm going to read it to you from the New American Standard. And then I had a lot of fun this week just going and looking at the grammar, the translation, it can come across kind of wooden when you translate it right. So even the New American Standard, which is the best, most accurate translation, can get some parts wrong because they're trying to fill in spaces, and they shouldn't do that because it affects what it's really trying to say. But Ephesians chapter 1, I think I said 2, didn't I? Ephesians chapter 1, I got it written as chapter 2 here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him, Jesus, we have continually redemption. Where redemption means to set free. In him, we continually have, we have redemption through his blood, the cross, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intentions, which he purposed in Christ, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, whether in heaven or the things in the earth. Now, the word times here, let me give you some insight, and I'm going to read it to you the way it should be written, just word for word from the original language. The word times here is the word kairos. And kairos isn't just normal time. The word kairos is an opportune time, like when Jesus came out of the temptation and it says the devil departed from him until an opportune time. A kairos moment is an opportune time in the Lord. It's derived from the word head, referring to things coming to a head in a moment. It's the right moment, an opportune moment. It's a God moment that God wants to do something in. Every moment of our lives, even and especially maybe in those places of hurt and failure, are kairos moments. So let me read it to you again. So listen really close. In Christ, we continually have redemption through his cross. The forgiveness of the trespasses. Not your trespasses, but all trespasses. Trespasses you've committed, trespasses others have committed, and others have committed against you. The redemption of all those, the setting free about all those. The forgiveness, the word forgiveness means to put away, the putting away of the trespasses. According to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intentions, which he purposed the Father in him into the management of the fullness of the kairos moments. We could spend a bunch of time on that, but I'll apply it some as we go through. Your story is his story. He is standing in the midst of everything. I didn't say he caused it, but Jesus as the truth. He said he's the truth. He's the truth about everything. Remember? Because he's the truth about everything, you have to see everything through him and what he's doing. Again, if you don't know the truth about anything, you can't know the truth about anything, anything that's happened to you, anything that's gone on in your life by circumstance or by people, what you've done, you can't know the truth about anything without seeing Jesus in the midst of everything. And then when you can see Jesus in the midst of everything proclaiming a truth, then Christ becomes your environment, not the circumstances and situations of your life. Jesus is standing in the midst of everything that's happened in your life as your Redeemer. declaring, "Do not be afraid, do not be angry or resentful or bitter or full of regret or shame, for I am here." Because everything, according to that Ephesians 1:10, is summed up in Christ. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the world. This is Isaiah 45:3. "And I will give you the hoarded treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places in order that you may know that it is I," or in Hebrew, "I am." "And I will give you the hoarded treasures," stored up treasures, bunches of them, "of darkness, and the hidden wealth of secret places, in order that you may know that I am the truth." Jesus says, "I am the truth about those dark places. I have hidden wealth in all those secret places just for you." In all those secret places of darkness, those things that we carry around, the memories of being abandoned or forsaken or rejected or cheated or lied to or whatever, all those moments when the deal fell through or finances or the bad decision was made and the consequences were financially or whatever it might be, all those secret places that the enemy sometimes can take us back to because they're part of our memory, in all those secret places of darkness, there are treasures, secret wealth of truth that Jesus has deposited there just for you to discover. And when you do, it releases Christ-likeness and thankfulness in your life. Let me give you an example. Several examples. I've shared this a little bit before, but the most important inner healing experience I ever had was years ago flying to go see some friends. I may have shared this recently, so forgive me if I have. I'd only been walking with the Lord for a few years, but God had already revealed to me that Christ was my Christian life, and so I was walking in, I was pressing through into some real freedom, but there were still some things holding me back. There were still some places of restriction and bondage because of a lot of things that had happened to me in my life and decisions that I had made. Dark places, secret places. I didn't tell everybody about those places, but they did dictate at some level the way I viewed life and reality. And as I'm traveling and I'm thankful that the Lord is teaching me about Christ, living the Christian life, and yada, all that kind of stuff. And he began to talk to me about my dad, who died when I was 19 as an alcoholic. And I only saw that as a waste. I only saw that. I did not like him. He was a nice person. He wasn't abusive. He was just chaotic. And I'd always felt that if I'd had a better dad, I wouldn't be so depressed and have such anxiety issues. I didn't have a strong dad to confirm. World War II killed him, though he came home from it. And the Lord began to speak to me about my dad and that my dad's behavior and his lifestyle was between him and God, but how Jesus was in the midst of all that, using it all, and the weaknesses it cultivated in me by having a dad like that, how he used that to draw me to himself like a crook on a shepherd's staff. And if I had had a different dad, I may have missed Jesus altogether because I would have felt so adequate that I could do life on my own. He said, "What about your dad?" That's between Jesus and dad. I'm just talking about what the truth is. Jesus said, "I was in the midst of all that, depositing in you the truth that I'm using all this to bring you to me." Just like the handmaid who dropped Mephibosheth, and he was crippled in both of his feet, but in the end it resulted in him becoming one as if he was one of David's sons, eating at his table regularly. And I saw it. And then he began to speak to me about every dark, secret place in my life where this person had done that and that person had done this and this person didn't do that. And every other thing about how my parents, physical appearance, everything in my life that I thought was a loss, that I thought caused damage in my life. The truth was there in every one of them and began to speak, show me, reveal to me the truth, the wealth of truth that he had deposited in me in all those situations. He was waiting for me simply to look for the truth in childlike faith for him to reveal it to me. It transformed me. And when I got off that airplane, with Christ having released experiential Christ-likeness and the thankfulness that I had never known before, because he had wasted none of it. I had interpreted all of that through the facts and the lies the enemy piled onto the facts. And in just that one flight, he spoke truth. He revealed to me that there were some things, some wealth of truth, some redemptive truth he had deposited in every one of those places and been waiting all those years for me to look, simply look for the truth and for Jesus to say, I was there. I didn't cause it, but I was in the midst of it. And I was depositing secret wealth that was just for you. In every place of hurt caused by events or others or your own behavior, I'm in the midst of them, depositing hoarded treasures in those secret places that are just for you. Jesus and his divine deposits now define our story, my story. It releases us into Christ-likeness and thankfulness. Instead of living in regret and resentment, the truth gave everything that happened to me eternal value, redemptive value and purpose. He reinterpreted everything, but it was the truth. The enemy's a thief. He comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. And everywhere he tries to do that, Jesus is depositing treasures. Not long ago, I was in a situation, and I was sharing something, and then but someone really disrespected me. And I got my feelings hurt so bad. And so later, I was thinking about the Lord, because I was so offended. I thought, Lord, what is wrong with me? I'm 69 years old. I've been walking with you for a long time. Because this isn't a past event. This was one a while back, but it was more relevant present tense. And he said, I'm depositing something in you. I thought, what is it? He said, are you willing to be disrespected for my glory? Jesus said that by his stripes, we were healed. Do you know that when he allows us to be striped, it's for the healing of the person who's striping us? Not an opportunity for us to be offended. But if we can bear the stripes in love and from Christ, we can be a source of healing. For years ago, I was going to a meeting. I was already in the doghouse. I'd been there for a while. It had kind of become my permanent residence. And I was going to this meeting, and the Lord said to me on the way to the meeting, he said, are you willing to look bad and be misunderstood? And so I thought, well, yeah. I mean, that was a spiritual thing to say, right? I didn't realize he meant it. You know what I'm saying? I just thought it was like a test. What was my answer going to be? And within 30 minutes or so, I was in a setting, and in front of a bunch of people, I was totally just blasted. And looked bad and was misunderstood. And I'm thinking, the Lord said, if I had known you meant this, I would not have said yes. He said, but I need you to be willing, or there's just some things I can't form you into and some things I can't do through you. He reminded me of that a while back with the disrespect thing. He said, can we add disrespect to not looking bad and being misunderstood? I said, yes, Lord. I died on the cross. And what I discovered was there had been places in my life where I had been disrespected and I had stayed offended about that. You know why I knew? Because the memory would come up sometime. And I would have those imaginary conversations that I wish I had said it differently. Remember? You'd never do that? And when I saw the truth, when I saw that Christ was in the midst of it all, wanting to deposit some freedom in me so that my heart would stay wide open to anybody and not restricted because I got offended, it released Christ-likeness in me and the thankfulness that I just can't get over. Because I was able to reinterpret everything through the eyes of treasures that he had deposited in me. We live in a fallen world. Fallen things happen. We make dumb decisions sometimes. Are we just supposed to swim upstream the best we can until finally we go to heaven? No. Everywhere there's a restraint, Jesus is in the midst of it, making deposits. And if we'll just, with childlike faith, look for the truth, we'll find him there, revealing the treasure he's depositing in us. And it will set you free. It'll bring mighty expansion. It'll release you into Christ-likeness in a new way. And you'll walk away from that with thankfulness in your heart, thanking him even for that and for anything else in the future that looks like that. You with me? Don't let the enemy define those things in your life. Places that you've carried for years that nobody really understands the darkness. Secret places. Things have happened to you or informed, affected how you think about yourself or how you think others think about you, or events and how they have negatively and unalterably impacted the course of your life. Don't let the enemy define those things. Go back, get with him, look for the truth, and you'll find that God's been depositing treasures all these years. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, if you guys will come up,